John chapter 15 tonight, beginning in verse number 1. We talked about going through last week and looking at that word husbandman, verse number 1. Look up that word empelos, E-M-P-O-L-O-S, which is a vine. They utilized 9 times in the New Testament in relationship to Luke 8, 11, the seed being the word of God. That word husbandman being a tiller of the soil. What the definition is, a tiller of the soil. One who is a vine dresser, he keep it. He keep it, and we're going to see the analogy why he keep it in relationship to I am the vine, and ye are the branches. Ye are the vine, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. In relationship to him purging it, that's another key word we need to understand. What that word purge means, simply means to clean a filth of impurities, to get rid of useless shoots that cause us not to be able to produce well by being part of the vine, by being the branches. So beginning verse 1, I like what he says, I am the true vine. The word true vine means there cannot be no other vine but the vine. Like it cannot be no other church but the church. The analogy between truth, the truth will set us free if we continue in his word. I am the true vine and my father is the husbandman. Underline that word. You need to put someone in your notes. And the reason why I'm going to play strong importance is a tiller of the soil, whereby the seed penetrate Luke 8:11 in relationship to, listen to us, brothers and sisters in Christ, that is, who benefit from the 21 books of the New Testament. Now, we benefit from all 66, Romans 15:4, but especially the 21 based on us being saved in the book of Acts, based on our belief in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in relationship to understanding that I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. It also gives the analogy of the deity of God. 1 John 5:8, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. When you tie it back to John 14:26, in relationship to understanding that comforter, that spirit of truth, in 15:26, as well as 16:13, we see that the deity of God the Father working, that Jesus said, I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. He, the tiller of the soil. And then verse 2 says, every branch in me. And that branch is singular in nature. It's an individual branch. In me. Galatians 3:27. See, as many of us have been baptized into Christ, we put on Christ. To be in Christ is to be in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8 is another good analogy. Well, throughout the analogy of being in Christ Jesus, just being in Christ Jesus. But in Romans chapter 8, there's a beautiful analogy here in relationship to what he's saying here, to every branch in me. When he talks about Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse number 16, and we use it all the time, when he talks about verse 16, he said, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, that we are in Christ Jesus, we are in what we are in the vine, because we are the branch. See, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so we be, that we should suffer him, that we may also glorify together. Why do we glorify together? Because of that union that we have, that unity of fellowship that we have by being in Christ Jesus, in me, by being that branch, a part of the vine, where the Father tills the soil and keep it going. See, that's the reason why, brethren, I think that when people look at life and we look at how we live life and then we live it contrary to the word, you cannot be in me and be heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ, because the spirit, which is the word, right, that controls our spirit, that's our frame of thought. See, the spirit controls how we think, because we have the mind of Christ, Philippians 2:5. You understand what I'm saying? See, when you let the word of Christ dwell in you to give you understanding through knowledge, right? Because of that knowledge, because of that mindset, amen, it controls the what type of spirit that we demonstrate. That's the reason why he said, because we are heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ, we not only glorify God, but we glorify Jesus Christ by the spirit that we have. So when you use the phrase in me or in Christ Jesus, that calls us to be children of God, this is all guided by that concept of what type of soil that we have. Well, maybe good soil, rocky soil, thorny soil, bad soil. It just determines what type of soil. Either that soil had been tilled, either that soil had been purged, amen. See, either that soil had been made right, because if that soil hadn't been purged, hasn't been cleansed, hasn't been purified, guess what? Sin is still there. Sin is still there. So he said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may what, bring forth more fruit. By the word purge, right, 2 Corinthians 13:5. Because that's what we do. Amen. We all have sinned, amen. We all have fallen short of the glory of God, amen. How many times this week have we had to purge the soil? I'm serious. Had to make decisions based on our understanding of the word, amen, that we're taking things in our life that should not have been there. Or we saw sin that was there that we got rid of. Or we saw temptation that was there that we said it was written. You see what I'm saying? That's what purging means. See, that's the reason why, because your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, the word is there, so when these things crop up, you have the ability to be able to make proper decisions in your life. Now, look at this contrast. Think about those who are not in the vine. That's not a part of the vine. That's not a branch of the vine. Well, how can they make those proper decisions? They can't do it. You can't do it. Because you don't have the proper understanding. You don't have the proper spirit. You're not guided by the spirit. See, to be able to make proper decisions in order to be able to purge, or to be able to cleanse, or to be able to purify, or make yourself better, better, and better. That's what that word purge and purify mean. It's that you get better and better every day, amen? You're gooder and gooder every day, amen? See, all facets of your life. See, that's what John 8:31 is talking about. If you continue in my word, indeed you shall be my disciple. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what? But it takes a continuation process. It don't happen overnight. Jesus is a newborn babe, what? Desire. See, he said, teach them to observe all things. It's a process of life that we go through. That's the reason why when you get up in age, through life, you should be examples. Sisters should be examples to younger sisters. Why? Because you have went through the process of purifying. Because you are what? A part of the what? Vine. You are the branch. And you have purged your life. You have matured your life. You have perfected your life. Whereby up in your senior years, you should be an example versus being a hindrance. But here we go again. If you're not guided by the proper spirit. See, we take for granted the word. We allow people to mistreat the word in the way they want to mistreat the word. But what you sow is what you reap. Amen? Can't be two ways you can treat it. You can sow it right, but you can sow it wrong. You can sow it toward the spirit and reach everlasting life, or you can sow it toward the flesh and reach condemnation. That's a true fact of life. See? And that's what he's saying here in verse number 2. He didn't say some branch, but every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Amen? See? And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth what? More fruit. See, bring forth more fruit each day. You're getting better, better, better. See, you're improving better, better, better. You're growing better, better, better. You like church. You like prayer life. You like study. See, you begin to enjoy and like it. Maybe 6 months ago, you didn't like it as well. Well, why didn't you like it? Because you didn't understand it. Did you not realize that? See, there's a reason why a lot of people don't like church. They don't understand. They don't understand what worship was all about. Amen. I talked to my sister today, and I smiled. And she said, well, we're going to have the Lord's Supper tonight. I said, yeah. She said, we didn't take it Sunday. Dara said, why didn't you say something too? I said, it wouldn't have done no good. Not at that point. You know why it wouldn't have done no good? Because she don't understand. She just don't understand. I mean, she told me, she didn't ask me, what was it all right for us to do it tonight? She told me what they was going to do. But you say, well, why would she say that? Because she just don't understand. They don't understand Acts 20 and 7. Upon the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. They don't understand when Jesus says in Matthew 26, you will not drink it again until you drink it anew with me into my Father's kingdom. Amen. And based on that prophecy, a promise that he made in Matthew 26, well, we saw in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 that they did it. Amen. When? On the day of Pentecost. Where? In my Father's kingdom. Where? In the church. When the church was established, amen? So therefore, every first day of the week, we come together to what? Commemorate, to remember, and to celebrate, to commune together when the whole church come together in one place. But see, if you don't understand that, worship don't mean nothing to you. I'm serious. It don't mean nothing to you. See, you just can't understand one facet of it and say, well, we're going to do the Lord's Supper, but don't know why. Amen? Or even singing. Am I right? See, you got to understand what Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16, Hebrews 13:15, James 3:15. You got to understand what every one of them verses mean. So when you're singing, singing constitutes acceptable worship. Right? So you can enjoy it. Amen? What good to come to worship when you're in a hurry? Or when you don't want to be here? You understand what I'm saying? You can't purge something that you don't like. You can't make correction for something when you think you're right. Amen. You can't do it. Amen. See, we examine, we purge. See, we let the word of Christ dwell in us richly so it can teach us, so it can admonish us, so each day we live, each hour we live, each minute we live, we get better and better. Amen. Amen. I go to you, Paul. It's like, how many times husband and wife read 1 Corinthians 7 together? Or read Genesis chapter 2 and verse 23 together? Amen. Or read Romans 7 together? See, how many times you sit down and just read that to one another? Just read what the Spirit says as a refresher course. Okay, how long you been married? Amen. But just read it. Read what the Holy Spirit says. To examine yourself, to make sure that you are, what, twaining. See, that you are cleaving, that you are one, that your body belongs to her, and her body belongs to him. And you look at that, you read that, and understand that, so you can begin to make the correction. Because it don't take a long time to get off course. Amen? It don't take long for it to get off course. Amen? Because the devil don't want you to be happy. Amen? Amen. But when our spirit matches up with God's spirit, that our attitude is going to be right, see, then we can do what he's telling us to do in relationship to understanding what is the will of the Lord. Go ahead, Paul. Amen.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
You know how I look at life? It's a big old test. And with the Bible, it's the cram book. And I'm going to tell you why. We've been looking at James 1:12, right? He's a blessed man who endures in temptation, right? But when he is tested. Now, life has full of tests, right? Either you can pass it or you can flunk it, right? See, either the word of God, because you let the word of Christ dwell in you, and because you have that mindset, you have that ready mind. See, you have purged the spirit to the point it's nothing there that blocking the word from working. Amen. And you remember Galatians said you're running well, but there are hindrances in our life. Amen. But see, those hindrances sometimes block truth. See, that's when you hear people say, well, I just don't know why we have to do it that way. Well, I don't understand why we have to do it that way. Well, see, when we talk like that, see, it's something in that spirit that's antagonistic toward truth. You with me? So I look at life as just a big old test. You can either pass it to receive that crown of life based on the promise, or that's the abundant life, amen. Or you can fall and you can stumble, amen. Thank God we got the blood, amen. Through repentance, amen. If we learn from our error. Because look at the next verse. See, the next verse he used to pray. He said, now ye are cleansed through the word. Now start right there. See, but what good is the word when you don't let the word of Christ dwell in you? When you don't know you're not, that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You'd be surprised that people that go to church, if they told the truth and we had a true analysis of people who say they're faithful, the amount of time that we spend studying the Bible compared to doing things of the world, you'll be shocked. But we want to be cleansed from the word, by the word, amen. We want the word to be a part of our life. Well, of course, then I ask, well, how can the word be a part of your life when you're not in the word? Does that make sense? Because he said here, verse number 3, he said, now you are cleansed through the word which I've spoken unto you. Right, James 1:25. Don't we have a perfect law of liberty? 2 Timothy 3:16. Isn't all scripture given by the inspiration of God? So the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto what? All good works. Amen. See, look what he's saying here. You're cleansed through the word. You're purged that you may bear more fruit. Amen. Why? Because we are the true vine. Because here is the true vine. And my father is the husband. Y'all see the analogy of what he's saying here? Amen. And then we sit here and say, well, we're not enjoying Christianity. Well, maybe Christianity ain't enjoying you. Amen. Because it cannot be enjoying you where sin is in your life. Because, see, you can't enjoy the benefits or the privilege. You can't be cleansed. You can't be purged. Because you are not a part of the vine. For he said, because he said here, if you don't bear fruit, what are you going to do? He's going to take it. He's going to pull it from the what? Vine. Amen. Have you ever, well, I don't know. We say the folks. Carol, you do flowers, don't you? Every time you tear dead leaves off, dead things off, you're not going to. You have to bring them on. You know, because they dead, right? And you leave them on there, they'll kill the vine, won't they? Is that right? Is that a true factor? See, they will, won't they? The reason why you got to what, prune them, get them off of there, am I right? See, get it rid of them, amen? Because if you let them stay there, it would eventually kill the vine. Is that right? Is that right? Tell Paul what you just said. Paul, tell me. What'd she say, Paul? I know that, but what'd she say? That stopped the growth. Well, that's the same thing in relationship to our Christian development. See, we all supposed to be one, right? We're all supposed to be guided by one spirit, am I right? And we're all supposed to speak the same thing, be the same mind, be the same judgment, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. So with that in mind, see, if we allow you to do what you want to do, what it do, it hurts us from growing, amen. Am I right? Because what sin is, to God is not, amen. Am I right? And that's the point that he's saying, that relationship to understanding what is the will of the Lord. Look at verse 4. He says here, he said, now abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye abide in me. Now go back to verse number 4 and I'm going to do something with you. Look what he says here. How can you abide in me if you're not in Christ's church? How can you abide in me? Or how can you be a branch on the vine if you're not in me? Y'all see what he's saying here? See, to abide in me is to be faithful, amen, and I in you. See, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. See, it's impossible for you to abide or be a part of the vine if you're not in Christ Jesus, amen. Y'all see the analogy there? See, that breaks down the concept that they are saved in every church. Am I right? See, men like Reuben Shady, Max Lucado, Wayne Kilpatrick, and a lot more who teach doctrine that it makes no difference what church you have to belong to. Homewood made a statement one time, said, well, people who got baptized in the Baptist church, it was immersion baptism, well, they were added to the body of Christ. Well, to come in the church of Christ, see, all they got to do is repent. That's not true. How can you be wrong? How can you be wrong in something and be right? You can't be wrong and be right. You got to be right to be right. Am I right? Or, as he said in here, see, you can't abide in the world and still be in me. That is Christ Jesus. Amen. See, you abide in Christ Jesus. See, then you are in Christ Jesus. Why? Go back to Romans 8, 16, 17. Why? Because we're heirs of God and we're joined heirs of Jesus Christ. How can you look at it this way? How can you be heirs of God and be contrary to God? Amen. Y'all with me? See, that's the important brothering, that we all be one, that we all speak the same thing, be of the same mind. Amen. Because see, we cannot tolerate sin, because when we tolerate sin, we lose the blessings of being in Christ Jesus. Y'all with me? Now I want to read that one more time, because that's exactly what he says here. He said, you abide in me. That's Jesus, right? That's the church, right? Then I'm going to be in you. Why? Because your spirit going to match up with God's spirit, right? Amen. As the branch, right, that hooked up to the vine, right, cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except you abide in me. It's impossible. It's impossible for it to work that way. It's impossible for the vine to be there and we the branches, amen, and then you operate outside of the vine. You got to be within the vine to make it operate. You got to be what? That bear fruit. Amen. And the way you're going to bear fruit, you got to stay hooked up to the vine. Amen. You got to stay within me, hooked up to the vine. Can you see it that way? See, and that's the church. Go ahead. That's what it is. The nourishment comes from that, am I right? Strength comes from that, am I right? Am I right? Through what? Through study, right? See, that's where we get our nourishment from, amen. Through study, through the word. Why? Because we are cleansed through the word. Why? Because we abide within the vine, amen. We stay hooked up within the vine, amen. Amen. Now think about this here. When you go opposite to what the vine teach, at that point, you dead. You're disconnected, as John said. In relationship to understanding what is the will of God. See, and understand that to the fullest. Amen. Look at verse 5. He said, I am the vine and ye are the branches. Amen. That's plural. Acts 11, 26. Amen. There's one vine, but there are many what? Branches. Amen. We all here who are Christians are branches. Amen. Is that right? Am I right? He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for I mean you can do nothing. Now, underline that word, much fruit. Now, think about it. Examination time. If you are the vine, if Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches, amen, and because we abide in him, because he is the true vine, and because we purge ourselves, amen, and cleansed by the word. Look what he says in verse number 5. We must bring forth much what? Amen. So, question. If we do not bear fruit, something is wrong. Amen. Am I right? Something is wrong. Am I right? Either you need to go around that tree and cultivate it, put some more fertilizer on it. You understand what I'm saying? See, it's like having a big old fig tree. Me and my sister were talking about the other day. We all see fig trees like we used to. Y'all remember the big old fig trees? Used to be a long time ago. I remember my granddad had one. There'd be so many figs on it, they'd be all on the ground. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And then they just fall all over. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We don't see that no more. You know what I'm saying? And then year after year, you have figs and figs, and all of a sudden that fig tree just grew up. The next year, they have very little. Then all of a sudden, they have none. And back then, my granddad went out there, and he said, what's wrong? And then he began to cultivate around it and work around it. And then eventually, in the years to come, it started back buying what? More fruit. Now go back to what he's saying here, because see, this is something for us to think about what he's saying here. Look at verse 5 again. Verse 5, he that I am the vine and ye are the branches, right? He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Amen. For without me, you can do what? Now question, as we examine ourselves, what is that much fruit? Amen. You can't be in Christ Jesus and be a part of the vine and be a branch and be dead. This is a work in progress. Amen. Amen. Now, the fruit could be a good prayer life. Fruit could be studying the word. It could be worship. It could be saving souls. See, it could be many things. See, but because we are the branches that are part of the vine and we abide in him, we need to be working 24/7 for Jesus Christ. Amen. Bearing what? Much fruit. Now you sit there and say, well, I ain't bought no fruit all year. I'm serious. If I was to think about it, and what he says here? He bearing what? Much fruit? Amen. Because see, if you ain't bearing no fruit, something is wrong. Am I right? Something is wrong with that tree, that vine. Something wrong somewhere that's causing you or me not to bear much fruit. Y'all with me? Girl, that's what the Bible said. Look what it says here. I got mine underlined. See, bear much fruit. Amen. See, go back to Romans chapter 8 right quick. I want to show you something. Again, analogy. Romans 8. Look at the analogy of being heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. Because Romans chapter 8 and verse 16 and 17, and especially verse 17, he that if children, amen. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ, and look at the last part. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also glorify together. Another word, glorify together. That is that because we are branches, a part of the vine, and we abide with him. See, because we are the light of the world, this church should be a beacon light to this community. We should glorify. See, the only way people are going to see Jesus is in the life that we live. He can't see it in denominationalism. I don't care how much they holler. I don't care how much TV time they got. I don't care how big the churches is. I don't care how many people go there, what they're doing. See, they can't glorify him outside of Christ Jesus. Amen. See, people look at you and say, oh, I attend Faith Chapel. Oh, I attend. That don't mean nothing to me. It don't. See, what good you be in that when it's error? Amen. Or what good being in the Church of Christ in this error? When you can't glorify what? Jesus Christ by being a light bearer of the salt of the earth. Because we glorify together because of the commonality that we have by being heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. Y'all with me? That's the reason why we have to speak the same thing, be of the same mind. That's why we have to be purged. That's why we have to be cleansed. That's why we have to abide in him. See, we have to do all that so we can what? Bear much fruit. Amen. But see, you can't bear much fruit if sin in your life. We just sit here and we're stagnated. Amen. And we just go through the motion every Wednesday night. Or we go through the motion every Sunday morning. Or we go through the motion every Sunday night. But there's no fruit being bared. Y'all with me? Because that ain't what he said. He bare what? Much fruit. Amen. That is that fruit of glorifying. See, the work of the church in Ephesians 4:12 is threefold. The whole reason why we're here to save souls. Amen. It's not to build big buildings. It's not to see how many people we have. It's not to see how much money we take up. Because see, if we do God, God will take care of all that anyhow. Amen. Save souls. See, that is to be a beacon light to this community. See, that church on the next block can't be a beacon light, but we are the beacon light. Because we bear much fruit. Am I right? Am I right? Because we are part of the vine. Amen. Am I right? So you can't expect that church. You can't expect Solace to do it. You can't expect the church on Anson Avenue to do it. We are, think about this, we are that beacon light right now in the Fairview community. And I even say Bush Hills community, because Bush Hills can't, because they're contrary to the vine. Amen. Y'all with me? Y'all see the pitch I'm trying to play? But what good can we say that when we're not bearing much fruit? Amen. See? But he said here, if you abide in me, if you abide in him through the word, and you are obedient and you are faithful and you continue in his word, the only conclusion is, the only thing of logic is that you will bear fruit. Amen. You will bear fruit. Because that's what he said here, right? Y'all see what he said? Look again what he said. Look at verse number 5. Look at verse number 5. Look at verse number 4. Just underline some word. Abide in me. Go back and look at that word this week, what that word means. See, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. You can't bear fruit outside the church, outside the word. So you can't bear fruit in the worship center. You can't do it, folks. You can't do it in error. You got to be in Christ Jesus. And the only way you're going to be in Christ Jesus, you got to be in his church. Don't that make sense? Amen. And see, people say, well, Al, you're just too dogmatic, man. You're just too tough, man. You just make things more difficult. It's called truth, folks. Am I right? It's called truth. Amen. Because see, I know who my adversary is. See, I know who the tempter is. Am I right? And because I know this, I know what he's capable of. Amen. And if we don't be careful, we can lose it. Amen. So look at that word, abide in me, and I in you. All right? And then except it abide in the vine. You got to stay hooked to the vine. See, Sister Paul says, nourishment, strength, encouragement. And what we do one for another, amen? We strengthen, we encourage, we build one another up, amen? See, husband and wife. See, the wife, the husband got the wife back. See? Because that's a helpmeet, amen? Am I right? See? I remember one time. I ain't gonna say it. But anyway, my wife had my back that Wednesday night. The brother said, I'm going to knock his head off. Anyway, go back to the word. She had my back, though. But anyway, verse 5, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth, underline that word, forth much fruit. And therefore, what I mean, we can't do nothing. I don't care how much money you make. I don't care what kind of job you got. It makes no difference. What material thing that you have, you can't beat God's blessing. God's blessing will supersede everything. God's blessing will supersede, I don't care how much education you got. I don't care how smart you are. God's blessing will beat everything. Go back to 14:14. See, in 14:14, look what he says here. He says in 14:14, he said, if you shall ask anything in my name, right? 14:14, John 14:14. See, y'all with me? If you ask anything in my name, I will what? Do it for you. And then he says the same thing. He says, what I mean, you can't do nothing. I wish we could understand that and build our lives by abiding in him, staying hooked up to that vine, realizing that you're a part of that branch, and that's a blessing. Amen. That's a blessing. Amen. But look at verse 6 right quick. He said, if a man abideth not in me, amen, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are what? But now, a lot of people take this verse here to mean that when you die, you're going to hell. That's true, too. But I believe you're going to catch hell right here. People just willing away, amen. People just all messed up, mind all messed up, amen. You don't ever watch the evening news? You don't see what's going on in the world today? People are all confused, amen. From the White House all the way down to the Poor House, am I right? You know why? Because they don't abide in Jesus. Am I right? See, go back. See, when we abide in him, see, without him, we can do what? Everything. Am I right? Here, if you don't, the consequence is, you know what we need to write right here? Write Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6. And go that way right quick. Galatians 6. He said the same thing, Galatians 6. Galatians chapter 6. Over here, verse number 8. 7 and 8. Paul, I got Mark 4:21 by since you told me that. Mark 4:21. Amen. Paul, give me Mark 4:21. If you had Galatians 6, 7, 8, just write Mark 4:21. But over here, Mark 4:21. You going there, Paul? Mark 4:21. All right? All right? Y'all got that? By Galatians 6, 7, 8, just write Mark chapter 4 and verse 21. If you want to go there right quick, go there. Mark 4:21, because Mark 4:21 said what, Paul? So Mark 4:21-22, read it verse 22. That is, and Jesus said to him, but go all the way back up. Go all the way back up. Because see, you read the whole chapter here. Verse 21, he's talking about sowing, right? And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth what? Fruit. Amen. Some 30-fold, some 60, some 100, right? And he said to them, is a candle brought to be put under the bushel on the bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? Then verse 22, that's the same thing he said in Galatians chapter 6, 7, 8. For there's nothing here which cannot be what? Neither was anything secret, but the issue what come abroad. Then verse 23, if any man had ears to hear, let him what? Hear. Y'all see what I'm saying? Well, in Galatians chapter 6, 7, 18, he talked about the same thing. Be not deceived. That's what's wrong with the world. They're just all messed up. Amen. We need to teach folk, get Jesus on your side, then everything going to be all right. Then everything else is secondary. But we teach differently. We teach folk, well, go get a good education, get you a good job, then everything going to be all right. And that's what we teach? Amen. Then when you get that, when you find time, get Jesus. But go ahead on now. Get your good education. Go get your good job. Buy you a nice house. Get everything you need. Then, when you get broke down, find Jesus. Amen? That's the way life is. Am I right? But he says here, be thou deceived, God not marred, for whatsoever man soweth, so shall he reap. But look what he said in verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap what? But he that soweth to the Spirit, amen, shall of the Spirit reap everlasting what? Life. And that's the same thing that he's saying over here in verse number 6. Right? See, because we bring forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. But if a man abide not in me, see, that's the damnation of life. And we need to mark that one, and we need to understand that one. Okay, if you look at life, and you told the truth, how many times in life and you run out of fingers and toes because you couldn't count them? How many times in life can you look at life and look at things that have happened to you? It's because of Mark 4:22, Galatians 6, 7, 8, of this verse here, that you can say, it happened because I was not a part of the vine and told the truth. How many times you say, did it happen, and it is true? Y'all understand what I'm saying? Go ahead, Paul. You said it right at the end. Well, I saw on the evening news, waiting to come over here today, they're getting ready to have a big nationwide seminar. And it's going to be at Southeastern Bible College, but they said technology one did. But guess what the topic is? How to have proper leadership in your life. And they have having big names like, what the lady name used to be the Secretary of State? Condoleezza Rice. And they bringing in big time preachers, you know, big time speakers. You know, these guys who, what you call them? Motivational speakers. Yeah, that's what they are, motivational speakers. And I sit down and listen. I said, it costs $75 to go to it, the seminar. And what I've told you tonight is free. Amen. And one word. If you want to have proper leadership in your life and you're a Christian, stay in the vine. Abide in him. Cleanse every day. Purge every day. See, bear much fruit. Realize the danger when you don't bear fruit or when you are not a part of the vine. That's just as simple as simple can be. Amen. Because in Christ Jesus, we can do everything. That right or wrong? Do y'all believe that? Anything that we ask in his name, he said, I'll do it for you. Amen. And that's not the only scripture. Amen. Amen. And do you not know that they say it's a possibility that over 250,000 people pay $75 just to go to that half-day seminar? Amen. And here's the answer right here. It's called, if your spirit match up with God's spirit, then we can be called children of God. But do you believe that? And you're not going to let no clutter, you're not going to let those who are not in Christ Jesus, amen, stop you from having it. Amen. And that's the point. Does that make sense? So in summation, we all time, I'm going to 35, I should go all the way to 10 minutes to 8. I didn't get up here to 10 minutes to 8. Get my whole hour in. just laughing. That's right. I didn't get up here to 10 minutes to 8 with a big lip. My lip all gone now. I ain't touching no elephant, man. But anyway. Okay, thank you, John. All right. I'm going to stop there. All right. Let's continue to pray for the sick and the shut in. John, go cut table. Thank you.